things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah! That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
I think that's just too bad. Oh, okay. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Oh, we're here.
We're here.
Oh my gosh.
We're back in the normal timeline.
It's been 1 week for you. Several for us.
Several. Jenny got married.
I'm married.
Since the last time we actually sat down and podcasted, right?
Yeah.
Holy shit, it's been a minute.
I think it's been like 6 weeks.
It's
been a long time. We took a little sabbatical, but we're back and we're so glad.
And if you're new here, welcome. It's a podcast.
A Little Bit Grim is what it's called. That's Taylor.
That's Jenny.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome. We're so glad you're here. You caught us at the beginning of a new cycle.
It's the beginning. It's paranormal week. Ookie spooky Ooh! Times.
This is going to be a big fat juicy one, I do think.
A doozy.
It's going to be a whop, a wet-ass paranormal.
Oh my god! Lord have mercy on my heckin' soul, which I'm sure we'll talk about quite a bit today.
Oh, yes, we will. Wow, very on brand.
Thank you.
It's almost like we know what we're doing.
Oh, weird. You know, I was sitting in my car last night with a friend of mine. We had like a little car date.
Cute.
So we went and got Arby's.
Love.
We had White Claws in my car while we waited for everybody to like get to the arena we were at. We were going to go roller skating.
Fun.
So we just like ate and drank in my car, and this conversation.
This is very circa 2008.
Honestly, I was so here for it. It was so much fun. It cost us $15 to eat at Arby's, and we brought our own drinks. We sat in my car for like an hour and a half.
And just hung out.
And just like hung out.
Honestly, that's excellent. Cute. Super cute.
Yeah, it was really nice. But we ended up talking about a lot of the things we're going to talk about today, I think.
Oh.
So I have a exorcism story for you today. And my sweet sunshine human friend, Jamie, does not do Ookie Spooky.
Yeah, bless
she
her.
She does not like it. It puts her in a state of panic.
Sweet blessings to her.
I know. But she watched, what's the Midnight Mass?
Oh.
And she really liked it. And then she watched The Conjuring this weekend too with her boyfriend, the first one.
Oh.
And, she was like, I actually really liked it, but she likes like demons and like the like religious
based
okay. stuff. And I was like, girl, no, please give me a serial killer every single day of the week.
Really?
I hate it.
Have you ever seen Stigmata?
Mm-mm.
It's an old, I like 70s, maybe 80s. It's very scary.
Oh,
but it's about a nun who starts experiencing this stigmata.
That's terrifying.
It really, I was far too young to be watching it,
but as we all were with watching horror movies,
emotional damage. Yeah,
sorry, I'm gonna put down a spoon. I'm sorry if it's clattery.
Wow,
I know.
Way to keep it professional.
Do you have your bracelets on today?
Ah, heck it, yeah. But look, they're like trapped in. All right, I'll take them off. They were trapped in my sleeve. They weren't making a sound.
We got to do the jingle jangle portion of our show. Where we take off all the things that can make noise.
They say every time my bangles bangle, a fairy gets its wings.
I hope that's true.
It's not, but I hope it is.
We also have a little podcast guest today. His name is Winston.
He's here. He purrs so loud. So if you hear a cat purring in the background,
I'm sorry.
Don't let it ruin the spooky vibe.
Right. Hopefully it adds to the cozy vibe. Yeah. But I can't stop him from doing it. And I also don't know how to edit it out. So it just is going to have to be what it is.
Too many lines of audio. We can't handle it.
Yeah.
So,
oh, hi, bud.
He knew we were talking about him. So, yeah, are there any, like, updates, anything that we need to cover?
Oh, my gosh.
How's your past 6 weeks been? Good?
Yeah, it's been super good.
it hasn't been super
it
good.
It has not been super good. I lied. I'm struggling mentally. I am unwell. So, but this is giving me joy, so I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, this also gives me joy. Yeah. I'm also unwell.
How's your past 6 weeks going?
It's been so bad.
You guys, so I was editing episodes that we had previously recorded, and because I'm a, I don't even think I'm a procrastinator, I'm just having a lot of things happen, so I've been like juggling a little, and so I would like edit the episodes the week they came out instead of like having them already edited so that I could just publish them.
Sure.
You guys, in an episode recently, Jenny and I were like, it's calm seas. We're just gonna trust it.
It's gonna remain calm seas.
We have healed the trauma of our inner selves, and we can just trust when things are good. That's a fucking lie.
No, absolutely incorrect.
It's so wrong.
It's been awful.
Yeah.
So, but it's okay. Listen, here's the thing. We had a beautiful, perfect, amazing, blissful time in Jamaica.
Oh my God. I would, those 4 days, I will never get back. Mm-hmm.
I got a solid like 9-10 days.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So beautiful. Great.
So wonderful.
Immediate shit show.
Like literally as soon as we got home.
Taylor had a death in the family.
Like my grandpa was trying to die while I was in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And I was like,
wait till I get back stateside.
Right. He passed away on New Year's Eve. It was just a mess. But I will say, like, silver linings. I got to spend a lot of time with my grandma.
Which is great. The great thing about funerals.
Yeah. And my cousins and I all just kind of like descended upon my grandma's house.
Camped out.
Yeah, like camped out. One of the days I like texted Ryan and was like, hey, can you bring me like everything I would need to spend the night? And my grandma lives an hour from my house.
Yeah.
So he packed a bag for me, drove down, dropped off all my stuff, and I was just like, yes.
That's kind of him.
Yeah. And we went through so many bottles of wine, so many, that my grandma was embarrassed for the trash man to come. She was like, you guys, they are gonna think that we are alcoholics.
Oh,
and
I
was
grandma?
Like, grandma, there are like 15 of us. It's not you sitting alone in your house.
Well, the trash men don't know that, Taylor. You're not all there standing on the curb when they pick up the trash.
Right. So if anybody wants to know like where my intense like obsession with what other people think of me comes from.
There you go.
Joyce. You put this on me.
Thanks, Joyce. Love
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Joyce. So, but it was great. My cousins and I all got to hang out. Like, it's different when you get to hang out with your family as adults.
Yeah.
Because you're always together as children. And then getting to, like, hear...
Be the adult conversation instead of, like, yeah.
It was just really cool. And I think Grandpa would have really...
Enjoyed the time.
Enjoyed that. He also would have been so annoyed with us because we were really loud.
Causing a ruckus in his home.
Oh, my gosh.
His little abode.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's just been, you know, I've had nothing but a myriad of health issues. And you know what? This is the first time you're going to say it out loud. I think it's because on New Year's Eve, I did a manifestation for like peace and joy and abundance. And as I was like stirring my simmer pot with my bay leaf that I had like my manifestations on, as I'm stirring it, I had the thought, oh, I should have put health on that. Didn't. So,
okay.
You know, I currently have a broken foot.
Yeah.
And that is the least of my concerns.
Yeah, that's like small potatoes.
Small potatoes on the list of
ailments.
Ailments that have been afflicting me. What up? Anyway, but we're here. We're in our happy place.
We are, oh my gosh.
And I feel confident that calm seas are on the horizon.
Jennifer Jean.
I do. I do. They are right around the corner. Taylor, those calm seas.
Okay.
Don't look at me with panic. We can talk about good things happening without things getting worse. We have to make that true. We have to make it true.
Okay, I'm gonna...
It's good. Everything is all good and it will be good and then remain good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to talk about demons?
Yeah, I really do.
Okay.
Actually, that would make my heart happy.
See? How itchy you are.
They can always get worse.
Scabies of the soul.
Really don't want them to.
No. Listen.
All right.
Because they're not going to. Okay. It's all here on out. Here,
yeah.
Up. We're on the hut and hut.
What?
The
up and up?
Yep.
The hut and hut.
Hut.
Oh, hut, my God. Hut. All right. Are you ready to hear about this absolutely ludicrous story?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to tell you the story of Kennedy Ife.
Okay.
My sources are a BBC article written by an uncredited journalist, which is just so unfortunate.
We would love to give them credit.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I watched a YouTube video from Anonymous, and they linked their source in the show notes, and when I clicked the source, it was gone.
Oh.
So, listen, my sources are very here and there.
It's a paranormal.
It's a paranormal, but it did happen. It's relatively recent, so there is, like, photos and stuff.
Oh.
But it was just, like, the actually getting the story was a little bit...
to and fro.
Weird.
Okay.
All right.
That's so, all right.
Kennedy Ife led a relatively normal life. He was 26 years old in 2016 and lived in North London. By all accounts, he was an average guy, and there wasn't much to know about him other than that he was a marketing consultant. Another source said an IT consultant, but picture just
corporate guy.
Well, corporate London.
Corporate London.
Yeah. So, and he lived with his parents, Kenneth and Josephine, as did his five brothers. So, six boys all together living in this house.
Okay. That's a lot. That is a lot of laundry, my dude.
Right. And they were all adults, which I just thought was a little bit weird. I don't know if that's like culturally normal, but.
Well, who can afford to move out?
That's true. So his brothers were Roy, Harry, Colin, Samuel, and Daniel.
Samuel and Daniel.
Yeah. The oldest, Roy, was 33, and the youngest, Daniel, was 20.
Okay.
They did live relatively well and resided in a 7-bedroom mansion.
Ooh.
So I guess if
All right.
my parents had a 7-bedroom mansion, I probably wouldn't move out either.
I also would not have moved out.
So the family was deeply religious and attended church at Jesus Sanctuary Ministries. And just for the hell of it, I thought I would read you the mission statement of the church's website.
Outstanding.
The vision of Jesus Sanctuary Ministries was given to Pastor Uzor Ndekwu before he had even become a pastor. In 1997, God revealed a dream to him. The pastor climbed the earth with an uncountable number of souls following him as he climbed towards heaven. After he had awakened, the Spirit of God told them that he was called to bring people back to heaven and that he was being given the commission to win 1 billion souls for Christ.
Whoa.
As a ministry that oh my God, I do need to be on Adderall. Okay.
Which is ironic because I got taken off.
Which means you just got extras.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. No, just kidding.
Just kidding.
Don't do that.
Okay.
That, listen, that is so dangerous.
Yeah.
It is so dangerous. Don't just start taking medication.
No, no, no. Don't do that.
Don't. Just. Yeah.
That is...
my God. My heart is a flutter. We haven't even gotten to the demons.
Just my personal ones. Okay.
Leave me and my demons out of this.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not what we're here to talk about today.
No, no, ma'am.
Okay. As a ministry that focuses on evangelism, deliverance, and healing and prophetic ministrations, our mission is...
That was a hard sentence.
It was. I got through
I'm
it, though.
I'm proud of you getting through it.
To preach good tidings unto the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to them that they are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of his vengeance, the last day.
What is the obsession with the meek?
I don't know.
What is that about?
I don't get it.
Okay. It's right. Everywhere, though.
Yeah. All right, this last one is to give the beauty for ashes, the oil for joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, as summarized in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3.
Jesus. All right, yeah. That's a long to-do list.
Right. We got a couple of things we need to achieve.
Correct. I need short-term goals.
Yeah. Break it down. Bite-sized pieces. Okay. On August 18th, 2016, Kennedy Ife began complaining that he didn't feel well. The symptoms included stomach pain, throat pain, and trouble breathing and sleeping. The family believed that he just had the flu and thought that he would pull out of it soon enough. A few days later, Kennedy started complaining that there was a seed in his stomach.
A seed?
A seed.
Yuck.
Not great. Well, that's a bizarre thing to say. It wasn't until he started saying that the seed was turning into a snake that finally got the family legitimately concerned. But not concerned enough to take him to the hospital. No, sirree.
Not that concerned.
Nope. Kennedy said that he needed to extract the snake from within.
Okay.
Soon after he started talking about the python that was living inside him, he started acting differently as well. He became withdrawn and sullen, which was very unlike his charismatic and extroverted marketing consultant. This behavior escalated to violent mood swings within just a few days, and he began to lash out at his family members. In one of these violent outbursts, Kennedy attempted to bite his father. In subsequent outbursts, he attacked four of his brothers as well, and they all sustained minor injuries while trying to subdue Kennedy. He was able to get past his brothers, and he chased his mother around the house. And Josephine was able to lock herself in her bedroom, but Kennedy tried to break down the door to get to her.
Wow.
Yeah. Finally, his brothers were able to subdue him, but it took them all to take one man down. So, five against one.
Oh my god.
At some point during all this madness, Kennedy started talking about the mark of the beast and needing God's forgiveness. He also mentioned 666 numeral. After some quick research and overwhelming curiosity, I wanted to know about the number 666 and why Christians consider that the mark of the beast. I hereby give you Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18.
Icky.
And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and this number is 666.
Ooh.
Yikes. Super yikes. So because of all these violent outbursts, Kenneth Ife, Kennedy's father, said that they should attempt to restrain him. They bound him with cable ties and rope and left him face down on the floor to keep him from hurting himself or anyone else in their family. Kennedy would go on these long religious diatribes, and in one of these, as one of the brothers would later recall, Kennedy explained that he needed to cut off his own genitals.
Oh.
I don't believe that that actually occurred, but he did threaten to do that, which is just its own brand of horrible.
Yes. Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay. How to digest that. Continue. Mm-hmm.
On August 20th, the family decided to call in some religious leaders to pray over Kennedy. Josephine explained that her son had refused treatment from medical doctors, but there really isn't any proof that he refused any kind of treatment or any kind of treatment was attempted to be gotten for him.
Okay.
When the minister got to the Ife home, he said that Kennedy looked feverish and generally unwell, but that he was sitting on the couch texting.
Oh.
The minister interrupted Kennedy's texting to say hello, and he said that Kennedy looked up at him and greeted him in return. While he looked like shit, he wasn't restrained, or at least that's what the minister would say later. After they prayed over Kennedy and the minister left, the brothers tied him back up and kept him bound throughout the next day. Their father had told them to use overwhelming force if necessary. On the 22nd, Kennedy shot up during their morning prayer and tried to attack one of his brothers. The brothers said that they only restrained him sporadically and only for 20-minute increments, which is why he wasn't bound at this point in time.
Okay.
Kennedy started biting his own wrists and flailing about, spouting off about the mark of the beast. Once again, his brothers restrained him. Finally, one of the brothers, Harry, had had enough and called emergency services. He told them that Kennedy had been complaining about being dehydrated and feeling weary. Harry told them that Kennedy had also become slightly cold to the touch.
Ooh.
Immediately, emergency services were dispatched to the Ife home, but they were unable to resuscitate Kennedy Ife when they got there. He was pronounced dead at 10:17 a.m. on August 22nd.
Whoa.
So it was only 3 days.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's a quick one.
Yeah. When we've seen so many exorcism stories that like span months.
Years even.
Yeah. This was very short-lived.
Wow. Okay.
So, of course, the paramedics were like, this is sus AF, and called the police to let them know that a healthy 20-something man had died in his home. When the police arrived, one of Kennedy's brothers was crouching over his body, attempting to resurrect him. Later, the family would deny that they had been attempting to resurrect him.
Oh, why?
Because I think they didn't want it to look like they were super nuts.
Okay. Okay. But they are.
But they are.
Okay.
At the autopsy, it was
just to clarify, they are super nuts.
Right. At the autopsy, it was discovered that Kennedy had sustained more than 60 injuries consistent with being restrained.
Yo.
Yeah. The cause of death was cardiac arrest caused by the restraints. The whole lot of the Ife family was taken into custody and questioned. They told the police that they believed Kennedy was not physically ill, but rather suffered a spiritual disease and that they were trying to cure him. They believed he was possessed and the only cure was to pray for him.
Mm.
While they originally denied having Kennedy restrained at all, the police found hundreds of cable ties, a pair of handcuffs, and rope in a duffel bag that had been tossed over the fence into the neighbor's garden.
That'll do it.
When asked about these items, the family said that they disposed of them because they didn't know if it was legal for a civilian to own handcuffs. But, of course, they had nothing to do with Kennedy's death. The prosecution called the Ife family false imprisonment kit.
Mm. What a name.
Yeah. All seven members of the Ife family were charged with manslaughter, and they faced prosecutor Tim Little in court.
Every single one?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Ow! What the fuck, Winston?
He just bit me! I'm sorry, sir. I didn't pet you enough, so we're gonna have to give a little nipple?
That is so uncalled for.
This is the rudest behavior I've ever seen. Good grief. Okay. So I'm sorry, it was Tom Little, not Tim.
Okay.
So, Little said the following in court. This is a case in which a young man in his 20s lost his life. The reason is that his own family decided that because he had become and remained unwell, he should be restrained with cable ties, ropes, and handcuffs.
Mm.
They decided that he should be restrained in his own home with them rather than calling 999, which is the European version of 911. Ultimately, that restraint was the cause of his tragic death.
Mm.
The 999 call that was eventually made for expert assistance was too late. The family put misguided religious beliefs about this young man being possessed by a demon or evil spirits before the obvious and common sense conclusion that he needed help and he did not need to be restrained. Josephine Ife said that because the Bible talks of miracles, spirits, demons, and angels, that their actions were not misguided. She was simply following what the Bible told her to do. Josephine was so active in the church that the congregation called her Sister Jo.
Wow.
She was the one that called in the minister that came in and said that Kennedy looked fine that day. However, medical examiners discovered that it would have been impossible for Kennedy to look well that day. With the marks of restraint, they believed that he would have been tied up that day in the day that the minister came to see him. During the search of the family home, they also found a note written by Josephine that's got some real witchy shit on it.
Okay.
It said, anyone who has bewitched your son or daughter, if you feel your son is under a spell, pick up earth and throw it to the north, south, east, and west for 4 days. After, there will be an encounter.
That is, I've never once seen anything like that in right. a Christian sense.
Nope. Sure not. When Josephine took the stand, Little laid it out for what he believed happened to Kennedy Ife. Mr. Little said, I suggest that in August 2016, you had concluded that Kennedy was bewitched and you felt that he was under a spell and you were trying to work out what to do about it. You decided that the evil spirit needed to be removed from his body, and I suggest that you were a part of the group of seven that restrained Kennedy between the 19th and the 22nd of August. I suggest that he was restrained by your husband in your presence, and he was restrained by all five of your sons in your presence, and that the restraint included handcuffs, cable ties, and rope. I suggest that during the course of the violent struggles that there were, whilst Kennedy was restrained, he sustained the injuries that we know he had on his body. But from Friday morning onwards, Kennedy was kept under guard by one or more of your family every minute of the day. He was only allowed to leave the house on Friday evening because he was with his brothers, and I suggest there was no justification for the use of handcuffs, cable ties, and the rope. Josephine repeatedly told jurors that's not true, after adding this last point. If Kennedy poses a threat to himself, his life, or others, then it is justified. The jury deliberated for 4 days, and when they were brought in to read the verdict, one female juror was seen smiling and nodding at the family as they walked in. While they read the verdict, there were a few jurors who had their hands together and, like, their heads bowed in prayer.
What?
They decided to acquit all seven members of the Ife family of manslaughter, and they were set free.
What?
Yep.
You are fucking lying. They did? Yep. All
seven of them.
On what grounds?
Just that...
They just said no.
Yeah. Kennedy Ife was a man with religious views that, after suffering a mental break, wasn't given medical attention that he needed and was met with a distrusting and delusional family. He died a horrible, misguided attempt at an exorcism, and I hope his soul found peace beyond this life. But that's the story of Kennedy Ife.
That is scary.
Yeah.
That is scary. In any other family, mm-hmm. that would have been treated like it was. Like, right. a mental break. And he should have gotten
help.
The help that he deserved.
Yeah.
Not tied up and bound and prayed over. What is this? A fucking 1600s?
Right. I was telling one of my friends about what I was doing this week for the show. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's an exorcism story. And they were like, oh, when did it happen? And I was like, 2016. And they were like, that's too recent.
That is far too recent.
That's too soon. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Whack. And there's pictures of the family like going into court. And
they'll be on the Insta.
Yeah, they'll be on the Insta. It's just wild. Because, you know, we have photos of people who have been in that situation, but it's always so long ago that it's hard to relate to.
Yeah.
But this guy was a marketing consultant.
It's far too recent.
Yeah.
Well, and did, like, because the Vatican has it. Well, listen, let me tell you all about it.
I can't wait to hear about it.
Because I have a corresponding story here. Whereas you covered a exorcism.
Yeah.
I am going to talk about something related. Okay. Remind me to give you my sources at the end of this.
Okay, word.
Right now, in this day, year of our Lord, whatever day it is, if you visit St. Patrick's Seminary and University's website staff roster, you would find Father Gary Thomas listed as the inaugural director of the propaedeutic year programmed at St. Patrick's Seminary in Menlo Park, California.
Hmm.
He's a native of San Francisco, attended All Souls grade school, graduated in 1971 from Sarah High. Then he graduated with a bachelor's degree in business management from the University of San Francisco. In 1976, a year later, he completed programming to receive the state's embalming license. He worked in the funerary business until he was 25, then he made the decision to seek higher pursuits.
Okay.
In 1983, he completed his Master's of Divinity through St. Patrick's Seminary. Father Thomas was ordained a priest for the Diocese of San Jose and has served in a variety of ministries throughout his 37 years. They include parochial vicar at three local parishes, a six-year term as the diocesan director of vocations, a six-year term as chaplain of St. Francis High School, 12-year term as pastor of St. Nicholas Church, 15-year term as pastor of Sacred Heart Church, and lastly, Father Gary also served for 15 years as a diocesan exorcist.
Ooh.
Clap of thunder. Strike of lightning. I could not have buried that.
I love that.
Any further. He has appeared on Coast to Coast AM as a guest, if anybody has spent their childhood listening to Coast to Coast.
Not Coast to Coast with Daphne Blake from Scooby-Doo, though.
No, different Coast to Coast. Different Coast to Coast. He even has a major motion picture made about his life and experiences. Ooh. As an ordained exorcist. It stars Colin Donahue as Father Gary Thomas,
okay.
Sir Anthony Hopkins as Father Carmine DeFilippis, and Alicia Braga, who plays Matt Baglio. Now, the characters for Gary Thomas and Carmine are changed in the movie. Like, they don't use their real names.
Okay.
But it's their experiences that they based this movie on, which is really cool. And then Matt Baglio, who was a young and hungry and skeptical journalist who ended up writing the right novel. The synopsis is as follows. Father Gary Thomas is working as a priest, Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
How can you do that but can't say?
A parish priest in California when he was asked by his bishop to travel to Rome for training in the rite of exorcism.
Oh my God.
Though initially surprised and slightly reluctant, he accepted this call and enrolled in the new exorcism course at a Vatican-affiliated university, which taught him, among other things, how to distinguish between a genuine possession and mental illness. Eventually, he would go on to participate in more than 80 exorcisms as an apprentice to a veteran Italian exorcist, Father Carmine.
Okay.
His experiences profoundly changed the way he viewed the spiritual world. As he moved from rational skeptic to practicing exorcist, he came to understand the battle between good and evil in a whole new light. Journalist Matt Baglio had full access to Father Gary over the course of his training, and much of what he learned defies explanation. In the book, Baglio also traces the history of exorcism, about its rites, rituals, explaining what the Catholic Church really teaches about demonic possession, and delving into such related topics as the hierarchy of angels and demons.
Ooh, see, I think that's fascinating.
It is fascinating. It's a whole system.
Right.
The seraphim and the Nephilim and all this. Have you seen biblically accurate angels?
Jamie and I just talked about
They're
it last night.
So horrifying.
That's literally, we talked about how scary the angels are supposed to be.
Yes.
Because like in every time somebody mentions an angel in the Bible, it's like, and they were afraid.
Yeah, because they are. Because they're fucking horrifying.
I'm going to Google it. Continue.
Have you seen, we'll find it and post on the Instagram, but like there are people online who for Christmas made biblically accurate angels as their tree topper.
What?
And it's like feathers with a bunch of eyes on. It's super cool.
Oh my gosh.
They're scary. We'll post some biblically accurate angels to make you lose sleep at night.
That sounds like fun.
So, satanic cults, black masses, curses, and various theories used by modern scientists and anthropologists who seek to quantify such phenomenon. Boop, boop, doo-doo-doo. Phenomena. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Okay, now hear this and know it as truth. Okay.
Yeah.
Regarding the very serious stance the church takes in the education, preparation, and actions taken surrounding demonic possession, there is an honest to God education system in place to train those few who are selected to become like sanctified exorcists. It's rigorous and carries the majority of its focus in medical and psychological sciences.
Oh, fun.
So, like, of the entire curriculum, like, 30% is exorcism, and the rest is, like, psychology, medical disorders, and this. It's, like, not so much the divinity as it is the science behind it, because they have to go and determine whether this is, like, a genuine exorcism or not, because it has to be able to hold up in court.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So.
Fascinating. That's awesome.
Yeah. Isn't it wild? They have doctors and medical case studies to train the priests to spot the difference between true demonic possession or a myriad of other health issues like epilepsy, schizoaffective disorders, or psychotic breaks or other maladies that can have similar symptoms.
Right.
Father Gary Thomas was one of these trained experts, or is one of them. I'm not sure if he, like, continues to do exorcisms out there in, like, San Fran, California.
Right.
I don't know if it's, like, a very demon-y place. But there in Rome, he trained with Father Carmine De Filippis, and his journey with him changed the way that he understood evil.
Okay.
So they witnessed several inexplicable occurrences together, and Father Carmine, in his over 2,000 exorcisms, has seen more. 2,000.
That is
so many.
So many. Is there a database for...
Oh, I'm sure, down in the basement of the Vatican and, like, their archives and shit.
I mean, but I want to see it.
I don't think it's fair that the Vatican gets to keep all of this ancient knowledge. Like, why are you gatekeeping?
Religion.
Religion. Like, religious texts. Like, they belong to the world. They don't belong to you.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. Pope. Pope. Okay, so the church cites 4 accepted signs of possession.
Okay. Word.
Word. So, speaking in unknown languages.
Yeah, that's fucking weird.
It is fucking weird. Such as the Anna Ucklin case, where she spoke Latin and German despite having no prior knowledge or education of these languages. 2, showing a disproportionate physical strength beyond one's natural capacity.
Okay.
As
Kennedy Ife.
Yep. Or Clara Germana Seeley, who it is claimed to have made a pact with the devil The young South African was able to levitate, speak foreign languages she hadn't learned, and communicate with invisible spirits. During her first exorcism in 1906, she was able to break out of her restraints, overpowered two men in the room, and was able to choke one of the priests.
Cool.
A second exorcism, which lasted 2 days, was necessary to free her from the pact. Number three is the repulsion to sacred things, such as a crucifix and prayers. And knowledge of events that have happened far away in terms of time and places. Don Decker, otherwise known as Rain Man, in his Unsolved Mystery episode.
Oh!
In 1983, young Donnie Decker from Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, started suffering from mysterious symptoms such as scratches on his hands, catatonic state, and burns after touching a crucifix.
Ooh!
And the strangest, he was able to make it rain indoors, hence his name, Rain Man. Rain indoors. I don't know. It's a cool party trick. I don't think it's worth the demon.
Mm-mm.
But I would take that.
I don't.
So much water damage.
Water damage, man.
For no reason. Yeah.
Pass.
Or things that would be impossible to know. Dr. Richard E. Gallagher, who was a board member of the International Association of Exorcists, documented in 2008 Julia. Case study. Her real name was never released. She was a prior member of a satanic cult.
Ooh.
Julia was clairvoyant, recounting to priests things she could not have known and demonstrating abilities in levitation and telekinesis.
Ooh.
During her exorcism, she grunted like an animal and shouted in unknown languages, altering between guttural sounds and high-pitched screams.
That's terrifying.
But even those examples don't run the full gambit of trickery the devil has to offer. Father Carmine has had many more harrowing experiences, such as one woman who, in the middle of her exorcism, vomited up 7 3-inch black iron nails.
I'm sorry, can you please repeat that?
Seven.
She vomited them up?
Vomited them up out of her stomach and throat. 7 3-inch long black iron nails. Six of them immediately dissolved into an unrecognizable toxic sludge that ate through the floor. The seventh was kept and has never been shown to anybody nor handled more than what is required for its safekeeping.
It gets
a little bit worse. Okay. Just a little bit worse.
That's pretty bad.
He also witnessed a woman who once vomited a singular black toad that then oozed through the floor.
All I can picture of is Ronald Weasley saying, "Eat slugs, Malfoy."
Only eat make frogs, it, priest boy.
Only make it a frog.
Yes,
that's
it was that.
Disgusting.
That was the worst scene in that whole movie. Super freaked me out as a kid. Yes. Father Gary and Father Carmine had such a far-reaching impact on their study together. So far-reaching, in fact, that they reached all the way right around back into our own backyard. Do you remember the Ammons haunting case from episode uno?
Yeah.
Singular number one. That's the DCS case I reported about the kids walking on the walls. The exorcism was carried out by Father Mike Magino, who was seeking advice from this and called Father Lampert, who spent 3 months training in Rome with Father Gary and Father Carmine.
Mm-hmm.
So that, okay, when was, that was like 2011, 2014?
Yeah.
That was like recent-ish.
Yeah.
So they, because this is not like they lived like 50 years ago. Like this was in like the early 2006
right
era.
Sure.
Was when they were practicing. So the priest who did that exorcism consulted with them to get it.
That's crazy.
To get her done. Right.
Get her done.
To get her done. During his, saw some pretty crazy going-ons, and he had this to say in an article published by Patty McGuire Armstrong on the National Catholic Register. "I saw someone levitate once," he said. "I saw foaming at the mouth, bodily contortions, superhuman strength, speaking in strange languages and howling like wild animals. And he described such visual shows from the devil as parlor tricks meant to scare or distract. Do you know that they consider foaming at the mouth a good sign? It shows that the exorcism is working.
That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Being possessed sounds like a really bad time. So Father Gary, I'm so glad he did, explained the entire exorcism process in an interview with Cosmo magazine.
What?
Yeah. Coast to coast, Cosmo. He's all over the place.
Okay.
Spreading the word. Spreading the good word.
You know that that journalist in Cosmo magazine was like, I have the best interview I've ever done, and it's going in this magazine?
It's so long, too. It's so, the entire interview was crazy. We can link the whole thing. I'll source it later, okay. But it's so good. Okay, so he explains how it's done. So I'm here to relay this
Excellent. Now
to you. Don't do this on your own, though.
Okay.
Like, you have to call a priest to do it.
Right.
This is not like a DIY Pinterest board exorcism. Okay, so there's a set of prayers that we pray right before the exorcism starts. I call them setting the table prayers. They establish God's authority, protect the team, protect the person that's the subject of the exorcism, and protect the property on which the exorcism is taking place, which is generally in the parish, in his church. The doors are locked with a sign that says healing session in progress.
That's wildly misinformed.
Misinformed. That's, it's not like a Reiki session.
Yeah, we're not like aligning chakras over here.
We're not going for Kundalini.
this is not hot yoga.
Please do not enter sauna currently in use.
Please see front desk to reserve your time. I'm sorry.
Oh my god. Then you have to anoint the doors with blessed oil so the demon cannot leave, which seems counterproductive. We anoint the person with the sacrament of the sick and then begin the solemn rite. It's done entirely in Latin, and you begin with the litany of saints, followed by scripture, followed by a few words based on the scriptures, and then you address prayers to God and address prayers to Satan. In between, you can pray the Hail Mary and the Lord's Prayer. If the person is clearly reacting, you'll say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is your name? The demon doesn't want me or any exorcist to know its name, because once it's known, the demon begins to lose its power. Sometimes they'll have names that are biblical, like Asmodeus or Baal or Beelzebub, and other times they'll be called lust or anger or hatred. They're going to do everything they can not to tell you, but there are only three questions you ask. What is your name? How did you get in? When are you leaving? You don't get to get into any kind of, well, I'm kind of curious. What's it like to be a demon?
Is it hot down there?
Is it terrible?
Do you have a sunburn?
Is there a Trader Joe's?
Do you want some aloe?
I love it. The church has always performed exorcism. People in the church will sometimes say, we don't do them anymore, which is absolutely false. In 2004, Pope John Paul II issued a mandate telling every bishop in the world to select a priest and send him to Rome to be trained to be an exorcist.
Oh my God.
Yes. That was because of, in 2004, growing occult activity, which has reached epidemic proportions. According to Father Gary, this is in the article in Cosmo, a demon doesn't show up. He has to be invited. The involvement in pagan, satanic, or occult practices are the classical ways. While less common, it is understood that others can invite them in without your participation, such as cursing or having a past family member promise a child to the devil. To be safe, he would suggest, stay close to God in prayer and refrain from being involved in the things that we consider to be the New Age. Rituals of the New Age, rituals of the occult, things such as Wicca, tarot cards, Ouija boards, superstitious practices, black magic, white magic, anything that would be adulterous. So.
We're in trouble.
He listed Reiki.
Did he?
In the article, yeah. He said Reiki was anything like that.
Interesting.
Was satanic. So, have you done anything recently to invite the devil in? And, you know, I hope not. But as a gentle reminder, your failure to believe in the devil will not save you from him.
Ooh.
So stay safe.
Stay safe, my friends.
And that is the story of Father Gary Thomas.
That's awesome.
What just a little background.
What a little educational paranormal.
You like that?
I did.
It was a weird bridge in the gap. But I like it. Thank you. I can't follow a fucking writing prompt to save my goddamn life.
That's okay. Neither can I. Okay,
thank you.
Oh my gosh.
I love it. Ooh. Okay. So have you ever been possessed by a demon? Let us know.
Please go ahead and write it in.
Was it after you got Reiki or what?
How did this happen to you?
Yeah. Tell me the story.
Amazing. Do you have a bright and shiny?
My bright and shiny is my husband.
Oh, yay.
Who has genuinely been an actual real life lifesaver.
Aw.
In the past. Listen, I am putting that man through his paces.
We're testing it early.
We have been married barely 30 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just fucking rock solid.
Love that.
I love him more than anything. So.
Excellent.
Hoda housewife complete.
Your transformation.
My transformation.
You evolved. You're like a Pokemon.
I really do feel like I've leveled up though. I can't wait for him to get mad at somebody in public and go, "That's my wife."
Oh my God.
I will die. I will die.
And you know that you will have absolutely
made it.
Started it.
Oh yeah. So. Not always. Not always. Listen, okay, if you catch me on a bad day, maybe. But I am very scared of conflict.
That's
and
true.
I really do believe that if you're mean to me, the universe will seek justice, and I do not need to.
And I do not need to.
You will ruin your own day.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. My bright and shiny is... Let's see.
There's so many to choose from.
So many. We went to a color guard competition yesterday.
Oh, my God. It was so fun.
It was so fun. We had such a blast. It's been so long since we've gotten to do that. Mm-hmm. So, and it was just it was like an hour and 15 minutes. So it was like fun little short little road trip.
Kind of close
adventure.
To home. Yeah. It was like an hour away. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah. Just a road trip, but it was just a blast.
You gotta go support our third.
Yeah. That's my bright and shiny.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. I want that one too.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to share it. Okay.
We can share.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks.
So follow us on the social meds and...
Maybe not Twitter, though. Hang on Twitter.
Oh, my God. Jenny locked herself out of the Twitter again.
A little bit grim three.
I can't. We're just going to cut it out. If we can't get back to the old
Twitter
one.
Is no longer going to be one of the socials if I can't get back into it. Just give me a little bit.
We're going to go with like another 30 days and we'll see what happens.
Instead... Go follow us on TikTok.
Definitely follow us on TikTok. Follow us on Instagram. Come join our Facebook group. And you know what? Just don't forget to be kind to yourself.
And to others.
Goodbye.